Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Thank you so much for joining us. Joining me today is Travis.
McClunky.
And our special guest, Nem Plays. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
No problem. So one of the reasons that I asked you to be on is because I follow you on Twitter and you just post these amazing PvP clips where you go on a tear and destroy the other team. The screenshots that you take that are fantastic that you provide to people, what sort of other things are you known for? Where can people find you? Tell us a bit about yourself.
So I am also part of the Planet Destiny podcast. I'm actually just returning to the podcast after a bit of a hiatus. And I used to create content for them as well as reviews, guides over on the Planet Destiny YouTube channel.
Cool. And what inspired you to take all the screenshots and just put them out there for the world to use?
So one of the things that I really like about Destiny is some of the details that are easily missed in the world and within the weapons and, you know, things like that. And it's just kind of happened by accident. You know, it's just one of the first things that I remember putting out there was the inside of the malfeasance rounds, and people lost their minds over it. And there was one comment on that post specifically that kind of like made me want to do more of that. One of the designers over at Bungie had seen that video or that image, and he said, "You know what? I'm gonna pass this along to the guy who worked on these, because he always seems to think that, you know, people don't see this." And, you know, the thread was just filled with nothing but positives and, you know, love towards like the little minutiae details that they put into the game. So, kind of spiraled from there and decided to take pictures of the world and more recently of other people's guardians for like the fashion shows and stuff like that.
That's really cool. I know I also really like your PvP stuff, but screenshots are just a lot of fun. So is your main a Void Warlock? Because that's what I usually see you wrecking shop with.
Yes. Yeah, that's been home for a good while. Obviously Nova Warp is a little bit not as crazy strong as it was when Forsaken came out, but that's one of the reasons why I kind of like using it when I can go on those little kill streaks that you sometimes see, you know, because I see a lot of stuff on the Reddit. It's like, oh, you know, Nova Warp's weak. It's, you know, it's a trash super. And I'm just like, I don't know, man. Just don't rush into that encounter blind, you know, thinking you can tank stuff, because you really can't. You got to be smart about the super. So
I'm a big Nova if you ever get into a corner. So
handheld supernova is an entire different like subject that I'm still kind of upset about. But one of the reasons why I really like Nova Warp is I'm a big X-Men guy. So kind of like teleporting through the environment makes me feel a little bit like Nightcrawler. So yeah,
I get that. Nice. I get that. Nightcrawler's a very cool X-Men character. For those of you who don't follow comics, he is a blue demon-looking thing. He was in the second movie, if you saw the second movie, or some version of Kurt Wagner. But very, very cool character. And it's funny that you mentioned him as your influence there. I have to wonder if their teleportation mechanic was sort of influenced by that idea of being able to do that through the world.
It definitely looks like it. Like some of the minor animations, like you have that smoky effect when you blink in the Nova Warp Super. So yeah, it's awesome.
Nice. So this week in the world of Destiny, the major event that's going on is the Solstice of Heroes. That's probably going to be the crux of our conversation for this episode of Fireteam Chat. And the thing is that it's not being received particularly well. It is largely the same as last year. It's being perceived as incredibly grindy. But I want to throw it to the panel and challenge you to say, what is something you like about the event, if you can muster any positivity towards the Solstice of Heroes? Travis, you're the positive one on the show. What's your take?
Yes. Come to me for all of your positivity needs. All right. So here's what I like about this activity. This event. The European Aerial Zone is super cool. Yes, we've seen it before. Yes, we've explored it before, but it's nice to have it back and fight creatures in it. Yes, it is a very grindy event where I'm having to do lots of stuff that I don't necessarily want to do, but it is bringing the Destiny community back into the game and forcing us to do stuff together. And I've actually met some pretty cool people during this event, just online. People say hi to me, invite me to their parties, you know, doing strikes, and we're all kind of groaning and complaining about how grindy this activity is. But it's been kind of nice. You know, everybody's back into the community and talking about how excited they are for Beyond Light. And so, what we're actually doing might not be the most fun, but we're doing it together, guys. And that is my positive take on a very mediocre event.
So you're saying the thing that's positive about it is that everybody's being negative about it and talking about that together within the world of
that's
Destiny.
That's right. I mean, isn't that what could be more Destiny than everybody being unhappy about Destiny while spending all of their time doing it? I mean, that's really our whole thing. So,
Nem, how about you? Do you see a positive angle to the event?
Maybe. There are definitely positives. I compared to last year's events, absolutely. With this year's events, we don't start off with the green set. We start off with the blue set. And as we've seen in social media with like the progression bug, you know, you do have a multiplier once you complete either like the purple set, and then once you get to the purple, like the magnificent version of it, when you start doing your alternates, you basically kind of cut that grind in half because you get that times two and times three multiplier, which helps a lot as opposed to last year's event where we didn't have that. And the armor as well, the armor is not going to be made immediately useless. So they've made this armor where you can grind, get better stat rolls, and it'll be usable up until next year's event.
Got it. For me, I think my biggest positive takeaway is that I finished it on one character and then I bought the thing and I'm done. I'm definitely going to go passive for the main character and the grind of the remainder of the armor. And that's basically my hot take. I was pretty underwhelmed to see that it was largely the same event as last year. Like, as soon as I logged in there, I was like, oh, I remember how much I didn't enjoy this. and I remember doing the void grenades with the warlock and the raid. So, because you can just, you know, spawn the thrall or the whatever they're called when they're taken and kill all of them. But it's definitely going to be grindy. I'm very happy that I got the set. I still like the art aesthetic of the armor set, but I do wish that they had done a little bit more to sort of differentiate what they did last year. I kind of want to talk about the less positive side about it right now. And unfortunately, it's been a bit of a communication issue for Bungie where the multiplier wasn't working properly. Titans were bugged. I think Titans are three times now, regardless of when you do them. Is that correct, Travis?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. See, there's a lot of information out there just sort of floating around the community, and Bungie did their best to clear it up in the TWAB. I'm sort of looking right now. Your third and maybe final character will have three times progress bonus for armor objectives. Pretty sweet, et cetera, et cetera. Don't quote me on the Titan thing. I saw that on Twitter, so who knows if that's accurate.
This has all been unverified as usual.
Yeah.
I agree. I think that is part of the problem, right? That there's all these rumors floating around and nobody's really sure like how this event's actually working. And it just seems slapped together. And maybe that's because they're working on a new expansion that also got delayed during COVID. And there's a million other things that they're probably worrying about. So it has been a little rocky at times.
Another thing that wasn't really mentioned that I started seeing today on Twitter is that if
for example, if you have two characters at the magnificent level of the armor,
so what's you? There's blue, and then there's what? And then there's magnificent.
There's two purples. Yeah. So there's the blue, majestic, and then magnificent.
Yeah.
Once you get to the magnificent set, you have the different requirements: either do the Nightmare Hunt, Pit of Heresy, Master Nightfall, Trials Winds. Let's say if you have two characters at magnificent, you don't. From what I'm seeing on Twitter, you don't have to do those requirements twice because they apparently seem to be account wide. So you just need to do them on one, and then your other characters will have that requirement done.
And I believe you have to have all your characters on that final quest step for them to be account-wide. So don't, once you get there, don't finish any of those requirements until you get your other characters there, and then maybe do it. So if you didn't get it to it this week, maybe do it next week. I am on personally on step two right now on my hunter. It's not that difficult to do. It's just really... I wouldn't say it really captures the fun part of Destiny. It just feels like extra, extra grindy. And that's my biggest criticism with the entire event. And I just wish there was more, I don't know, it just feels like it's missing some element that would have made it a little bit more enticing to get this gear.
Yes.
Remember when
to me, the thing that this is missing is like the big weapon, like an exotic, like something new. Because I think last year there... I correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there was some sort of exotic that was attached to like doing this event, or they've definitely done that in the past with other you know,
like Arvalus and the Revelry.
Yeah, like stuff like that, where it's like, oh, okay, well, there's also this other thing to chase that kind of gets everybody hyped. And but yeah, to me, the biggest problem is that nothing changed from last year. Like, sure, it's a grind, but they were probably going to make another grindy event anyway. But at least like make the objectives different or something, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's also very expensive to get the ornamentation to actually get the colored glows. It's $15 per character if you pay for it, which is, I think it's right on the dollar amount that we predicted on the previous episode. And it's 6,000
bright dust, which is exactly what we said on the last episode.
And it's 6,000 bright dust per character, which I do feel is a little bit high. If they're truly universal ornaments, I feel like for something like that, they should unlock on every character. And somebody was also able to see that Bungie, well, it's data mined, so again, take this with a grain of... Well, I'm not even going to say it, because I can't verify it, so I should be a little bit more responsible there. They make a lot of money on stuff like this, let's just say that. So I purchased it with Bright Dust. I really, truly wish that they had created a way to allow people... to earn this through in-game activities as opposed to purchasing it at the Eververse. There was also the Bright Dust issue with the repeatable bounties. Like, let me also earn the Bright Dust. I think that would have been a smart change at the very least. But the real bothersome thing is that there's no way to earn it besides cashing in your Bright Dust that you've stacked up for years. And the Bright Dust economy has greatly changed. I think 6,000 is much more coveted than it was when we could dismantle things and get Bright Dust in an easier fashion. So, yeah, that's sort of my two cents about the whole event. I will finish it. I'm not going to rush or anything. It's kind of a bummer because the storytelling thing right now is like it's been really repetitive. You run through the story quest of each week, and then you get one line from Eris, and then all the other ones if you want to listen to it, and that's sort of it. We have four more weeks of that remaining before something happens, and yeah, it's just...
If something happens.
Yeah, we're definitely at that roller coaster where it's down here, and we're just kind of cruising along at the bottom waiting for that exotic sidearm to come out, right?
Yeah.
That's how I'm feeling about it. How do you guys feel right now about the story quest and... maybe you want to bounce off of some of the takes that I had about the Solstice event, Travis.
Yeah, I'm definitely sick of that weekly mission. It was so cool at the beginning when we thought, oh, maybe there's going to be, you know, you had a theory that we were going to destroy the Seven Eyes or whatever, and nope, it's just the same. It's a rotation of the same missions over and over again, and you got to do them all to unlock one extra word from a tree. It's like, all right, well,
even the dialogue that you hear from Nokris and that you hear from Eris is the same at the beginning and the middle. Like you've probably, if you've been running that on all three, you've probably heard all the dialogue trees.
Oh yeah.
Could 100%. Possibly happen. So
he calls me a worm every week, and every week I respond that he's a worm or something stupid.
Yeah, like you got him.
Yeah, Yeah, got him. It worked the third time. That was it. But yeah, it has been extremely repetitive. But it does give me a reason to log on at least weekly and just kind of see what's going on in the game. Unfortunately, there hasn't been a whole lot aside from that. But this is cool. You know, I still have my blue armor, so I really have not gotten into the Solstice grind a whole lot because I'm just like dreading it. But I know, you know, I'll eventually get through it. I probably will only do one character. But I think you're right. I think the main thing that really sucks is like how much, A, this was just a repeat of last year. To me, that's the biggest problem. Because at least if it had anything new, we would be surprised by something. And two is how plugged into the Eververse this is. Like, they put more time into the Eververse offerings for this event than anything else. And it's like very clear between the you know, the colored shaders and the new emotes and all of the other items that they've got there. I mean, this is basically just a Eververse, give us some extra money so we can finish the next expansion sort of play. I mean, that's what it feels like. So, it's classic Destiny. Like you said, the roller coaster and all of us in this together, the slog and getting excited for Beyond Light while also kind of like bemoaning the current situation that we're in. So
I will say this. I don't feel like I need to play Destiny right now. So it does free me up to sort of explore other games. And that's what I usually do with this period of time. I'll sign on, do my one weekly quest, and then I just sign off and wait for the next week to get that story beat. I agree with your point that it is unfortunately very grindy to get that story beat every week. Nem, what's your take? I don't want to leave you out of the conversation. I'm sure you have some thoughts. Maybe positive. Maybe you're not as salty as we are.
No, I'm 100% with you guys on board there. I'm currently, up until Solstice, I was just doing the same thing, just doing the weekly interference and playing something else. What you were referring to before, Destin, that feels like something that's missing with this event. Do you guys remember a while ago they did these reprised missions of the Red War campaign, and like they had like the special like little mini bosses?
That was cool.
Yeah, the meditations. Those were really cool. I'm actually really surprised that we haven't seen those or a new set of those, because there's a lot of missions to kind of like go through since that happened. You know,
Away.
Right. Yeah. And we have like Forsaken stuff. We have Shadowkeep stuff. And so, you know, a lot of those beginning missions are really cool. And I'm sure there could have been some sort of something to go on from there. But no, you guys are right. There's a big focus in Eververse. At the very least, you know, there's a free glow that players can get, which is the white glow. But no, this is definitely the lull between in between the expansions. So,
if I were doing this event, what I would do is I would just give you, you know, your blue armor, and the way you upgrade it is each armor you have to go and replay one of the campaigns that's going into the vault next fall, right? So it's like go play through the Red War, and then your helmet is purple and gets your glow, and go play through Curse of Osiris, and your gauntlets, you know, get upgraded. Just like enjoy this content that's going away, celebrate it before it leaves. That's the Solstice of Heroes,
right? And that's the theme.
Yeah, that's what they just did with replaying the old raids and checking out those old encounters. And I actually really like that idea, Travis. I kind of thought that maybe it would change more towards that. I think the biggest problem with the entire quest line of that armor set is it's do thing X times. It's not,
and it's like bounties.
Yeah,
it's the just, bounties complaint.
Yeah, it's bounties. It's really grindy, and it doesn't really incentivize you to experience the other stuff in an interesting way, I suppose. I don't know. And like, I don't want to be an armchair designer here, but I can just tell you in my experience, like this, it's not enjoyable. It feels like a chore, and that's not a good gameplay loop experience, in my opinion. I mean, yeah, sure, I'll do it, but I just feel like something better could have been come up with than just do thing X times. You know, like we're already doing that with that story mission. It's do two public events that you probably only need to do two because everybody can, you know, make it the hard mode, and then go do the other thing for an hour or two, and then you get your story beat. You get your story beat mission, you turn your thing, you do all that again next week on three characters. And I really wish there was anything that changed about, well, Okay, the middle part usually changes in the story mission structure, but the intro is exactly the same every week. You go back to that tree, and it's just Aerith standing in the same place. Like, maybe she could have moved. Maybe something could happen with the seed. She's just hanging out with the seed. You know, she might as well be a veteran in the tower. You might as well have had a tree in the tower that you complete the quest, and then you go talk to Aerith at the tree. You know, I guess I guess we're exploring. I will say on a more positive aspect, I feel like I'm just rambling here, so I apologize, that at least we have a thing to do, and at least they gave us a new location to go visit a vendor at. Do you guys have any final thoughts about a very light content week for Destiny?
No, I'm just excited, ready for Beyond Light already, beyond anything, and I'm not looking forward to this grind, even though I'm only doing one character. It feels like a death march, so.
Yeah. Nam, sorry, are you just doing the armor set, or what are you doing instead of Destiny, the grindy stuff that's going on?
So I actually got the Majestic set on the first day for all the characters, I'm committed, just because, again, like they made this armor like where it's a little bit more relevant. So I kind of want to take advantage of it this time around. Even though we do have like the universal ornaments as well, but I like the subclass glows. And I mean, after that, I don't know, man. I think it's probably just gonna call it after that. All I can say is, if this was Solstice, just use this as a point of reference for expectations for Festival of the Lost.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's a good point. Travis, what about you? Any final thoughts?
No, that's it, man.
That's all you got?
That's all I got.
Nothing else? Just what are away. You said you played life. With a bunch of Xbox people, and it was really fun. What'd you guys do?
That's right, yeah. So that was cool. I met some people that contacted me because they watched the show, and they know I play on Xbox. And I was like, all right, let's get a group together. I played with a bunch of these guys, and they told me about their lives, and we talked about the show. That's what I was kind of saying earlier with my positive point, is like the whole community's back in Destiny doing this stuff together. Even though it's not the most enjoyable content, it feels cool to just like, you know, have a reason to play Destiny for more than the week sign on that you and I have been doing Destiny, where we just kind of like do the story mission and then we're like, all right, out of things to do until the next exotic, you know? So.
For sure. All right. Well, that's it for this episode, I think. Nam, where can people find you again?
I'm primarily active over on Twitter. So twitter.com/NamPlays. And you can also catch me every Sunday at the Planet Destiny Twitch for the podcast, which is up twitch.tv/planet_destiny. And the podcast is at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 Eastern.
Got it. Nice. Well, thank you guys so much for joining me. Until next time, everybody, Guardians out.
Guardians out.
He knew what to do.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of Supernatural Horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the sleep patterns?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Of course. What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.